Every day, we're faced with choices, and it's the scary ones that we're afraid to make on our own. That's why we're here, stand-up girls and guys, to help you make the right choice for life.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Nikki, aka Nicolette, or whichever you prefer. You know, honestly, the names that people give me are absolutely awesome. I've got a friend who calls me Chocolette for some reason. I guess chocolate rhymes with Nicolette. Anyway, moving on to more important things, you're listening to the Stand Up Girl podcast, which has been brought to you for your pleasure and for your encouragement by a very awesome site. One of the best sites, I think, for young women and girls out there on the internet, on the web, in fact, in the world, just period, you know, and that's standupgirl.com. Wow, as usual, it's such a pleasure to be able to speak to you guys, to be able to jump into your ears via your iPod, your browser, whatever it is that you're using to listen to this. Hey, look, this is the place for you to be if you're discouraged, you know, if you just found out that you're pregnant and you don't know what to do. You don't know whether to have an abortion, whether not to have an abortion. You don't know what to think, how to react. I mean, you're feeling very overwhelmed. Hey, listen, this is the place to be, and everything's going to be all right. We have the most awesome community of young women and girls here. We're all about encouraging each other, supporting each other through whatever it is that we may be going through. So this is the place for you to be. You know, in keeping with the theme of this, recently, one of my cousins got pregnant. I mean, she was the last person I expected to get pregnant out of wedlock. We come from a very conservative culture, extremely conservative culture. When I say conservative, I mean, you know, if you as a girl come back home after sunset, you know, your parents will say, go back to where you were. You know, that kind of thing. Well, not that they typically do that, but, you know, that is a response that quite a few people get. And she was just not the person everyone expected to do that kind of thing. I mean, a lot of people felt like, you know, that she could do no wrong. Because she was such a devoted and dedicated person to the family, to the things that she cared about, you know. And anyway, so she got pregnant, and she didn't tell anyone. I guess what happened is symptoms started showing, and in our culture, again, people are very observant of such things. So symptoms are showing, people start suspecting, someone tipped me off. I mean, I live in another country, you know, I live across the border, so I called her and I asked her if she was pregnant, and oh man, she didn't want to answer my question. She dived this way and that way, and she even stopped answering my calls. I guess it's because she expected me to be harsh, to be angry, to be disappointed. Well, obviously I am disappointed in the choices that she's made, but eventually I broke through because I just told her that, you know what, listen, I sent her a text message. I was like, I'm not going to stop calling because I love you and I care about you, and getting pregnant out of wedlock is not the end of the world. I mean, sure, your life's going to be a little bit more difficult, but it's not the end of the world. It's not like everything's going to come crumbling down, you know. And eventually she did answer the phone, and I didn't ask what happened, you know, because this happened with a boyfriend of hers, so I just naturally presumed that, hey, you know what, he is in love with her, she's in love with him. When you're in love, you do crazy, stupid things. And so when she told me about this, I asked her, I was like, do you want to get married? Because in my culture, it's a really big thing, you know. It's like, it's like, I suppose what you guys in the States would call back in the day, you know, you get pregnant, you get married immediately, there's no option. Well, it's kind of like that where I come from, you know. It's like, okay, you got pregnant, you're getting married immediately, you know. And she was like, I don't know. And, you know, I kind of accepted that I don't know, because I was like, well, she's confused, you know, she doesn't know what she wants and that kind of thing, only to be tipped off again that, you know, hey, this guy is saying that, you know, he's married. And I'm like, what? You know, like, what? You know, what was he thinking? What on earth was he thinking, you know? And the funny thing about all of this is that the night before I found out, that this guy said he was married and all of this stuff. I had a dream about my cousin. And in my dream, there's that guy there, you know. And I was just, man, I was like losing it, you know. Like, how could you? What were you thinking? ETC, DC. I was saying this to the guy. And in my dream, he was like, hey, you know what? I saw an opportunity and I took it. And I was so enraged. I was absolutely enraged. And needless to say, in my dream, I really let all hell loose on this dude. And in my dream, I remember asking her, I was like, is this the kind of person you want to be with? What are you thinking, you know? And so anyway, as it turns out, I was later told that he's saying he's married. And, you know, and my family was all like, well, we're still going to take her there anyway. Because, I mean, basically what they do is, oh, you're pregnant. Whose baby is it? Whose baby is it? Whose baby is it? You know? Okay, you let them know whose baby it is, where he comes from. Okay, then what happens is they drive you there, they pack your bags, and they leave you at the doorstep, you know? Yeah, it's a very difficult and harsh thing. I know it is. And, well, because she had some kind of complications, I'm not quite sure, with her pregnancy, because I haven't really been able to speak with her that much, but she did spend quite a bit of time in hospital because of some kind of complications. I also think maybe the stress of telling the family finally, or should I say them confronting her finally about this pregnancy, that I think it caused a near miscarriage. So once she got better, they did take her and leave her there, which is really sad, because I had such high hopes for her, and I feel like we've failed her in a way, because we have this in my country, we have this culture of shame, you know. If you're pregnant, it's so shameful, we need to get you away from the family. And I feel like we've failed her, because, you know, I feel like telling everyone that, yeah, sure, it's a big deal, getting pregnant is a big deal, but it's not the end of the world. She can still do it, and she can still do lots of things with her life. It's not the end, but if everyone's acting like it's the end and now you're getting married, I mean, she's 20 years old, and this guy's going to have to find a way to keep her somehow and maintain her, but he doesn't want to, you know. He's already shown signs that he doesn't want to look after her, and the worst thing is, let's say, even if he's not married, because my uncle was like, well, you know, maybe he's just saying that he's married so that he gets to dodge this bullet, you know. But even if he's not married, let's say he's pretending, you know, the message that he sent loud and clear is that he doesn't want a long-term relationship with her. And for families to force two people to get married is never a good thing, because, you know, that's what causes broken homes, you know. That's what causes broken families, you know. And a loveless marriage is the worst kind of thing, because, you know, if a man does not love you, if you're forced on him, whether by pregnancy, whether by anything, he's going to make you suffer. He's going to make you pay for it, you know, in little ways, sometimes in big ways, for the rest of your life. He'll ignore you. He'll act as if you're insignificant. And I'd like to believe that, and it's not that I'd like to believe, but I know that it's true, that even single mothers to get to find true love at the end of the day. So that was just, you know, that's been going on. I don't quite, I'm still watching how the family dynamic is going to deal with it, because we come from a very, very, very structured society, in that because of my age, because I'm young, you know, I'm not an adult, I'm not married, I'm nothing. Not technically. I do have some kind of influence here and there with certain members of my family, that this is being dealt with like at a more senior level of our family. And so I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen, and talk with her, and just encourage her to not give up, and also encourage her not to get married. I did tell her that, you know what, if you don't know, as far as I was concerned, when she said, I don't know if I want to get married, as far as I was concerned, that was a no, you know. I don't want to get married, so I don't know. 20 is too young to get married, and hey, but then again, that's just my opinions. Then again, I do have to state that the opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of StandUpGirl.com or Oregon Right to Life, but that's just something that's been happening, you know. My family's beer. I apologize if my voice sounds a little bit weird. I've got a cold. Yippee! Who wants a cold in summer? Yay! Yeah, it really, really sucks. I've been taking all this cold medication and I spent the whole day drowsy and with my mind floating somewhere above the clouds. But anyway, listen, moving on. Today I'm going to share with you guys something that was written by Meg. Meg is one of our stand-up girls, and she is fantastic. She's awesome. Actually, I think all the stand-up girls are awesome and fantastic. I mean, all the girls that volunteer on the site, which I say women, all the women. I still qualify myself as a girl, even though I'm basically 25. I still think I'm a girl, man. Sometimes I dress like a teen. Please don't judge me. Please don't judge me. I'm having a very difficult time letting go. But she's one of our awesome stand-up girls. Some of you, I believe, might have spoken with her, had her email you an encouraging word after she had sent a letter in, so that's Meg. Meg is absolutely awesome. And I asked her to share something, you know, in her own experience, because she has had an unplanned pregnancy and she knows what she's going through and all. So, you know, I just basically asked her, say anything you'd like to share. And so she sent two tidbits, and I'm going to share one with you today. This first one is called, Can I Do This Alone? Oh my goodness, if only all men were faithful and valiant and honorable. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. You know, yes, I know that kind of technically makes me a nerd, but really, I'm a great Lord of the Rings fan. This week, I think I've watched the last movie like 3 times. It's really weird, really freaky. And my favorite parts, as it turns out, are these battle speeches, you know, before they get into this all-consuming, world-changing fight for the race of men and all of that. But what I most liked about the characters in Lord of the Rings is the sense of honor, the sense of I'm going to fight, I'm going to do the right thing, even if I'm going to die, even if I don't know if it's all going to be okay, but I'm still going to do the right thing. And I wish a lot more men were like that, you know. I wish more men, more people, in fact, would just decide to do what, you know, I'm going to do the right thing. Even if it means that I'm going to lose something, I'm still going to do the right thing, you know. And not all men, unfortunately, are like that. Sometimes you might find yourself alone in this unplanned pregnancy. All that love, all that, all those butterflies, all of those promises suddenly, you know, become, I don't know, faint memories all of a sudden when difficult situations introduce. So the question, can I do this alone? And Meg says, yes, you can. Will it be easy? No. I found out I was pregnant at 19 years old. I just finished my second senior year in high school, and I barely knew how to cook or do my own laundry, so I was clueless. Uh-huh. It was okay, though. My mom said she would help me raise the baby. The dad left me when I said I would not have an abortion, and I was devastated. At least I had my mom, though. Until I was 3.5 months along. My mom died while I was pregnant. I never imagined in a million years that I would be pregnant, no boyfriend, and now no mom to help me. My sister had kids, so she knew how to help me find resources. I was able to get on state medical. They paid all of my medical expenses in full. I never saw a doctor's bill or even a hospital bill. I was able to get on food stamps as well as WIC. WIC is an awesome program. They give you free milk, eggs, cheese, bread, cereal, peanut butter, 100% juice, fresh produce, and even more when you're nursing your babies. I mean, kids can receive WIC until they are 5 years old. Wow, that is awesome. I wish we had that where I come from, you know. Anyway, moving on. I also got help with diapers from my local pregnancy help center once in a while when I didn't have the money. I received help from a women's crisis agency a couple of times for gas vouchers so I could get to work, and I had help with my energy bill and even help with childcare. Well, many of you say you didn't do it alone. I mean, like, sure, I had help during the hard years of being a single mom, but regardless of all the financial and practical help from all these agencies, none of them gave my kids baths or read them books. I juggled odd jobs, some of which I took the kids to work with me. I stayed up late and got up really early. I would sing songs with my kids in the car on the way to daycare, and I would snuggle them before bed. I had them help me as they got a little older. We would fold laundry together, and they could help with the small stuff. We were our own little family. And as I became more and more independent, I was able to stand on my own 2 feet more and more. If you keep your priorities in the right order, you can use the assistance to give you a firm ground to stand on, and it will help you become stable to the point of not needing it anymore. And with all the experience you gain, you can then reach back out to someone else and help them, just like I do now. I'm no longer on assistance. I'm debt-free. I own my own home, and I actually give back to the organizations that helped me stand up when my circumstances were too much for me. You know, I love stories like this. I love it when people share what's happened in their own lives, because there's nothing as powerful as the idea that someone else has done it and therefore I can do it too. You know, I feel like a lot of the times we watch TV. TV is not real. Even reality TV is not real. And we think, wow, look at what that person's doing. I don't think I could do that. I wish I could do that. And I like it when people like Meg share what they've done, how they did it. And it sounds hectic. It sounds terrifying. It sounds like a lot of work. But what I like is this wasn't written with a tone of regret of, oh my goodness, if only I'd had that abortion. It was written with a tone of hope. And now you can see exactly where Meg is. She's got a stable life. She's creating a lovely home for her children. She's an awesome person. Guys, I can tell you personally that she's absolutely awesome, as of the other stand-up girls. So, in short, yes, you can do it alone. Would it be nice if there were people to help you? Yes. But sometimes there's no one. But that doesn't mean that you're not capable of it. Like I said in the last podcast, you guys, you have a heart. The heart of a woman is an amazing thing. And that heart is so strong, and it can bear the most difficult things. So, girls, I just encourage you to not feel like you're on your own and everything's out of control, and therefore it can't be done. It can be done. All you have to do is look out for assistance. I mean, there's so many resources out there to help you do this. There's so many people who want to help you out, who want to provide support for you, be it financial support, support in kind, you know, I mean, all sorts of things, because women really care about each other. And what I really appreciate about being a woman is that sense of sisterhood, you know, of propping each other up, of really assisting each other, and you can get that. So I'll just encourage you not to give up, not to quit, not to think that it's impossible, because it is possible to do it. If you want to get in contact with us, gosh, just reach out to us. Gosh, we've got so many ways for you to reach out to us. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we even have a phone, you know, so you can call us on our Google phone and leave a message, leave a question, just whatever it is that you want to share your stories, tell us how you feel, tell us what's going on in your life, tell us about the wonderful things that have gone on, about the best things that you've enjoyed about being a mom, albeit a single mom. Tell us about the hardest thing, and tell us how you overcame those things, because it will be such an encouragement to other women and girls. The number for you to call is 971-208-5786. If you're calling from outside the United States, you just add a 001 to that. Again, 971-208-5784. Catch us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/standupgirl. And I know y'all are Facebook addicts. I certainly am. If you're on Twitter, catch us at, what is it again? It's at stand_up_girl. Until the next time, girls, keep standing up. Keep standing up for life. Don't do anything you'll regret, and we're going to be with you all the way. Goodbye.